I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling me. I hear the voice of my grandmother calling. Wake up, wake up. She says, wake up, wake up. Listen, listen. Listen, listen. May the rivers all run free. May the mountains be unspoiled. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all. May the air be pure. May the trees grow up tall. May the earth be shared by all.
Hello and welcome to the Womb-Centered Healing Podcast. I'm Sama Morningstar, and before we get started with today's podcast, I wanted to share with you a few announcements about what's going on in the Womb-Centered Healing Temple. As you may have listened to in previous announcements, I've been working on the Biomystical Womb book, and that book has birthed another book, the Herbal Womb Wellness Workbook. And that book is now available for pre-order through Indiegogo. So I'll be sharing the link to pre-order your copy of that book, and I'll be sharing podcast episodes exclusively about that book coming soon. So keep an eye out for those podcasts. And I also want to share that I've revived the first podcast that I created, which was all about sharing about my poetry. And I've updated that podcast name to be Writing from the Womb. So there's a second podcast that you can listen to if you like this podcast. The Writing from the Womb podcast focuses on authors and poets who are womb-centered in their writing and in their writing process. So I'm sure you'll enjoy that podcast. You can find it on Anchor and all the other, and YouTube and all the other podcast platforms that you find this one on. And then the third thing I want to announce is that the second cohort of the Biomystical Womb Apprenticeship will be starting on October 31st. And you can find out more about that. We're super excited. We have a whole graduating class of mentors that are graduating who've attended the first 13-month apprenticeship program and are graduating as mentors to support the new apprentices coming in for this second cohort. So you can learn more about that by going to wombcenteredhealing.com. And I really hope to see you in one of these places very, very soon. So those are the announcements for now. And this is for fall 2020. And I welcome you to the podcast and enjoy the episode. Hello and welcome to the Womb-Centered Healing Podcast. I'm Sama Morningstar, and I have Tamika Thomas here with me today. Thank you so much, Tamika. And
thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And I want to start out first by honoring the ancestors and current residents of the land where I reside, the unceded land of the Pomo in Northern California, and welcome you all to the podcast as we come together to share about womb-centered healing. And I met Tamika on social media. I've been asking provocative questions about
how we experience our menstrual cycles and the power of the womb. And Tamika was sharing intriguing answers, and we engaged in quite a lovely conversation, which resulted in an invitation to come on the podcast. So thank you so much, Tamika, for joining us. And I'd love for you to introduce yourself a little bit more and share with us about your womb-centered healing journey. Perhaps, you know, we can revisit this topic of menstrual wisdom and see where we go from there.
Awesome. Well, I'm so grateful for you inviting me here today. This is my first time doing a podcast with someone. So this is very much, I was excited. I was really like, you know, a bit blown away when you invited me. So this is right on time for what I would love to share. And so I'm Tamika Thomas, and also known as Omika Ayama. I'm a mind-body coach, a spiritual guide, and what I call an ancient woman ways practitioner. And that is where I have taken on the responsibility of intuiting those memories and those ways and rituals and foresight and information that is stored within us. And so the way I started this journey was through a lot of mistakes. A lot of challenges. You know, I did not have some answers, and I was making choices with my wombs that I wasn't happy with. The idea that we were taught menstruation over ovulation, literally ovulation is kind of even left out of the conversation for our little girls, and how to manage that was my first awakening. Like, oh, why didn't anybody focus on this side? Like the menstrual side is obvious, it's very physical, but the ovulation part of it is kind of like, oh, well, you don't know how we don't know how you get pregnant. And so that was my first like untruth awakening. Like, that's not true. We figured that out years ago. And now we found ourselves in a forgotten state around our womb health. And me, myself, I just started the journey through tracking my own moon cycle by simply downloading an app. But what you think is very simple and like just kind of, well, let me do this. It gives you a lot of intuitive information just by knowing, okay, on this day, that day, I'm ovulating on this day, or I'm in between ovulation and menstrual time. It's the week before. What does that mean? What's happening in my body? Oh, wait a minute. Every week before this happens in my body, is then begin to recognize, you know, things like that. It's a very informative space about me. It is about me. And my heart needs, you know, it's even connected to my mind and things that I store that are painful, that I don't understand, I have found in my womb through this practice. So that's a little bit about me. It stumbled upon very much from ignorance. Ignorance into wisdom is where it became a need to know.
Right. And so many of us can probably relate to that story. I know I certainly can. And for me, that ignorance produced a lot of unnecessary suffering. Well, I mean, it was necessary in that it was part of the awakening and the educational process. But then there's like this looking back on it going, how come I suffered so long without having this information? So then there's that, right? But if we can then return to the present and say, okay, now I have this information. So I'm curious, what that process was like for you. What, I mean, there's of course there's obvious suffering about not knowing about our fertility, but I'm curious what other kinds of, what ramifications did that have for you in your life? And was there a culminating point of saying, you know, this has to change? What were some of, I love storytelling. So I'd love to hear if whatever you're willing to share about your personal life story and what brought you to that moment, because I feel like listeners, when we share these kinds of stories, can relate. The more we share
of our personal stories, the more we can really relate and connect and say, you know what, that sounds so familiar. I went through that mm-hmm. too. And yes, this could be that pivotal moment for me right now. And hearing how you got to the other side of it can be really supportive to listeners. So please share your story of like, oh, this suffering, and oh, I have to do something different. And what do I have to learn? And finding that information.
Mm-hmm. The biggest suffering is how do I get pregnant? How does this happen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, not how in the act, but more in the when. And so it happened through unwanted pregnancies and just not being present in that space.
Mm-hmm.
And so the way it worked for me was that reoccurrence of it cumulated so to a point to where it was almost like a correction within spirit. Like, hey, you have something you need to learn here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very purposeful, you know, like I wouldn't take not one decision away or one choice away from it, because I do not think that I would have the level of seriousness and impact and understanding that I do now, especially about even when it turns over into death and rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was abortions, shame and guilt around abortions and unwanted pregnancies and souls that I did not want to do partnership with in motherhood and childhood and parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And so that turned into a deep spiritual awakening around choice as motherhood. You know, we're told that if you get pregnant, you have to carry. You have to make that choice. It has to be a yes. And I wrestled with that in the wilderness, like Jesus, for 40 days and 40 nights to come out and say that, no, I don't have to make that choice. But even that choice then became another lesson to learn. Okay, well, what's the responsibility of having a womb? What is the presence that you need to have and the understanding that you need to have now before you even open your legs as to what will help you on the back end with the consequences and the outcomes that you're so shockingly like, oh, what is this? It even led into STDs. Or just imbalances in the womb in general, in the vagina, where the consciousness of it, where's my consciousness during, you know, the interactions that I've had and the choices that I've had in a sensual sexual space. And it just all came up, Sama. Where it looks like I was sacred. The sacred whore literally took me through the valley and said, hey, you know, let's reteach through the wild. And so I was a wild woman as young, and those consequences came, but my wisdom came from the deep mistakes of unwanted, like I said, unwanted pregnancies, the decisions of having an abortion. I literally created a spell and ritual and way that I would go about going through an abortion process that became a ritual for me. But then that became, no, you won't sit, you will not lay another, you will not lay on anyone else's table again. So how do we correct that? So each time I was given a little bit of wisdom, just a little bit. And the first was death or rebirth. Do I have to do this? Am I in a solid obligation to be a mother when pregnancy shows up? And so through that process, I then uncovered I walked into a vault of ancient woman. Like, oh my gosh, we have so much information that we don't have just from that one, you know, one piece. Mm-hmm. And so that carried on into tracking my ovulation, actually sensing when my body wants to procreate, and knowing that procreation doesn't mean creating a human. It's my creative power and my manifestation power. As I sit with you, I'm 2 days from ovulation from my own personal full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a time where I feel very vibrant and creative in my spirit. But the environment also is surrounded in the great mother energy. So I feel sleepy too. Mm-hmm. So I understand the combination of environmental influences and my own, the moon as a cosmic, you know, kind of antenna for me, my guide. In combination with that, my own personal compass here that's leading me through my own 28-day cycle, all that came together. All of that spinning, you know, those three or four circles of understanding started to play out in my mind. Mm-hmm. And from there, then we get into, okay, what do I need? Then the herbs would start to be intuited, you know, then this is where I begin to find herbs that support me in my journey. Mm-hmm. This is where I begin to find the nutrients that I needed to support my womb mm-hmm. and to help me. You know, this is when the plants began to show up mm-hmm. in partnership, and certain wisdom would just unfold within my consciousness mm-hmm. through literally walking through death, through mm-hmm. the death of the womb, the darkness, the parts of that, you know, Sama, I talk about the things that women don't want to talk about, mm. the shame and the guilt,
well,
that really deep things that we hold in our womb, you know, that's been the core of my wisdom is the yeah. shame and the guilt, the dirty parts that we don't want to talk about.
Yeah. I call those parts the voices that have been silenced.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because we have been forbidden to feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's been made unsafe for us to feel those feelings. We don't mm-hmm. feel safe to feel and express those feelings in many of our relationships and in our societal structures, communities. And I think given a container of safety around communicating about these difficult feelings, I think more would talk about it and do talk about it. And that's what I endeavor to offer in the programs that I offer in the Womb-Centered Healing Temple. So thank you for bringing your wisdom and your courage yes. to speak, give voice to these silenced feelings
mm-hmm.
That I feel so many are suffering the effects of that silencing. Because when we try to stuff it down and push it all aside and carry on with other aspects of life that are supposed to have priority over our, you know, over all of this mm-hmm. and the whole reason why, you know, some of these reasons why we might have been in that situation of just overriding our sensitivity and overriding our fertility and our creative core, overriding all of that and mm-hmm. carrying on, that creates illness over time mm-hmm. and that creates a distortion and a disconnection from our core self and mm-hmm. our center and our rootedness and our sense of belonging and sense of inner guidance. And so I feel like that's a very deliberate state of affairs because it benefits a certain population of people that want us to be easily exploitable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is what comes to pass when we're disconnected from our core identity of who we are, when we're disconnected from Mother Earth through that disconnect from menstruation and our creative mm-hmm. core. And so very revolutionary what you're talking about too.
Yeah.
So again, another reason why some might find it difficult or not feel safe to mm-hmm. discuss this, because it can be very destabilizing if our whole lives are based on a foundation of a different set of beliefs and a different way of, you know, a way that relies upon suppression and silencing of those feelings mm-hmm. in order to exist. So I thank you for having the courage to speak to these things and welcome your wisdom here. So I would love for you to share a little bit about how the plants and the herbs started presenting themselves to you as support and allies on your journey. You mm-hmm. said you started to, what I heard you share about is starting to feel the rhythms, the natural rhythms in the body and the natural rhythms of nature, and starting to inquire about what you need. What needs arose in that inquiry? I mean, that inquiry alone is revolutionary. Mm-hmm. So many of us were taught that our needs were at the bottom of the list and to be just swept under the rug and not even paid attention to, that everybody else's needs were our top priority. And we learned to do that out of safety, because if other people's needs weren't being met, then our needs wouldn't be met, because mm-hmm. we had to first start doing that with usually our caretakers, who never learned how to take care of their own needs. And so, you know, many of us became caretakers of our own parents very early on. And that cycle has perpetuated itself throughout the generations, so much so that we can't even arrive at that question of what do I need and how can I care for myself, mm-hmm. right? So just arriving at that question is super revolutionary and such a powerful healing. And so I'm curious about what brought you to that moment, and what were some of the influences, which herbs, what was the first herb that spoke to you into that question for you?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I live a very symbolic, signs, symbols, intuitive life. This has been going on since I was a teenager. I actually don't have very good visual eyes. So that is required that my inner eye be a little bit more in tune to things in a different way. I just watch life and observe life a little bit differently. So in other words, life is very informative to me. And so the herbs would speak through someone. I would find an article, or I would just literally ask a question within myself and then go research it. I bought books. I have several books here that I would love to share. Let's see. Okay, that's not on my shelf. The one I really want to share is my big. So I have like the Women's Encyclopedia. I have, we all know Christian Northrup. You know, I started studying women that brought ancient information. And so that was one way the plant spoke to me. The first plants that probably came to me was like your general raspberry. Mother's Wort came later through a sister that was literally sharing on the phone one day about how much she loves Mother's Wort for anxiety and for calming the nerves and regulating her PMS symptoms. And I went to research Mother's Wort, but Mother's Wort acts within me is it brings my moon within 24 to 48 hours. If I take Mother's Wort at any time, it's going to bring forth my moon within 24 to 48 hours. Mm. Neem came to me through two other sisters. Well, this is what I use for a contraceptive. And this is what I believe in as a plant that came to me. And they just shared their stories. Mm. And so I work in community, and I listen to God speaking through me, to plant speaking through me. So in other words, if we were in personal conversation and you were to share something with me, I would see that as a sign if I've been asking that question. Mm. And so when Neem came to me, the question was, okay, well, I don't want to take birth control. Condoms really rip up the womb. What am I to do here? Just, okay, well, I could not have sex for 3 or 5 days while I'm ovulating. But then I ask these questions and I'll say out into the world, well, what's available? What's the truth? What's really the truth? And I go to my ancient woman's ways and I say, well, what's the history? What's really been going on in the past? And that's how the plants will come. And it'll be through story and information from other people. Mm-hmm. And so then, I might find it on, let me tell you, my favorite oracle is social media. Mm. I will open Facebook or Instagram and an answer will be there. Mm. Someone will share a story about their journey around something, a plant or a remedy, a protocol that has been very helpful for them. So yeah, it's a very intuitive, ask a question, wait for the answer process as the way that came. So the first ones I would say, raspberry, Mother's Wort, neem, oak straw is big in my cabinet, horsetail. I've worked for Vitamin Shoppe, one of the leading supplement stores in America, and just found out a bunch of information, you know, there, and having just being exposed to all of the different herbs and supplements that we have available. Mm-hmm. And so I placed myself in environments that would give me that information. I've had a yoni steam, a vaginal steam, you know, and just different things will show up to give me, and that's the yoni steams and hip baths are very much an ancient plant-based healing process with heat and steam. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll be where I'm kind of just doing it. And then I would learn later on that this is something that we've been doing for years, or it's an ancient practice in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's it feels like that's how it's reemerging, you know, because I feel like these practices are in our blood.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our bones. It's in our DNA, because our ancestors have been practicing these things and having these relationships with these herbs and these plants and you know, knowing how to care for ourselves for so many generations. And we just happen to be in this time of forgetting.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as we open ourselves to asking for answers, like, wait a second, something's not right here, it starts to wake up and the information is right there. And there's this inner yes when we encounter an old friend like red raspberry leaf or motherwort or neem. Mm-hmm. You know, there it's this old friend and the smell of it even.
Mm-hmm.
And the taste of it. And when it's like you might be tasting red raspberry leaf tea for the first time, but it's not the first time.
Mm-mm.
And yes, you know it and you feel it. And so it's so beautiful to hear your story about that intuitive, everything is an oracle kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Where we can feel that yes as,
mm-hmm,
as we encounter things in the world. And that, for me, that doesn't mean that every time someone tells me about something that there's the yes is there. It might sometimes be somebody tells me about something and I'm like, oh great, glad that's working for you, but it's not really awakening a big, oh, I need that, that's the answer to my question. Yes. You know, can you speak a little bit to that it's not just everything that pops up is the answer to your question? I heard you hint at it a little bit.
Well, it's a very distinct, you've asked a very distinct question, so a very distinct answer will come to you. And yes, everything isn't for you, so, but when you know what's for you, you'll feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also are in an experimentation process, so you may choose some things that everybody else is doing. Like right now, we love veganism and we love vegetarian and we're all plant-based and happy and la la la, this is the answer to our health, but not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Hasn't been true for everybody. And so,
and not for forever either. Not for forever either.
And so there's a understanding that we go through. This body has something to teach us, and just in being relational in an environment, mm-hmm, just being, how do I operate with the animals and the plants? I have memories of being those animals and plants. I had an elder tell me that you had to go through 8 million species forms to even be granted a human body.
Mm.
So I have a right. I have a memory because I was that one day,
mm,
not just in me and the DNA and how I use it in the human form, but actually that I was that. And so I'm not only remembering from a sense of the relationship and environment, I'm also remembering when I was that.
Mm.
Because we have to understand, if we want to say that we're all one, and this is a divine collective experience, then there's nothing that's a mystery to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it may come to you through unknown, mysterious ways, but if you are willing to be patient, to be curious enough, and to be steadfast in your observation of your environment and within yourself, there's so much information there that's available to you. So what's right for you, you will know what's right for you. It's a knowing, it's an awareness that's a power, you know, almost to where you don't need anyone else to validate that. I've spent a lot of time ashamed to even share what I've shared today in a public space. One-on-one, yes, it's easy to help another sister not feel alone. And it's going to be in that confided conversation. But to publicly open up as to what I've been through, yes, this is very revolutionary within myself. Because I've been afraid of the backlash, of the guilt, of the shame that will be returned to me through words and whatever might come up. But when you are in your knowing, when that curiosity takes over and it becomes tried and true, when you figure out something within yourself, there's a power within that. And what I've learned is we as women have what we call foresight. And that's our way of finding solutions. We can kind of see forward into time. And we will say, well, I think I need this thing. And that thing may not even be present for you yet. You don't know how you're going to get it. And it will come through the form. It's like I say, it's a question. And when that thing shows up, you can't look out into the world and then say, no, that's not it. No, that's not it. And have the uncertainty that the answer won't come, or the uncertainty of it being not right for you. I've experienced that 99.9% of the time, it was right for me. Another thing I do is I wait for threes. If something comes to me one time, then two times, and I've intuited it myself, that's a third. And if it comes here and comes there, then yes, I am well aware. Like, to give you an example, this has nothing to do with herbs, totally off. Josephine Baker comes to me through people saying, hey, you look like Josephine Baker. And recently it happened, like in a year's time, bam, 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 to the point to where it's like, is Josephine saying something? By the fifth person, you will begin to say, hey, who's speaking here? is it just that I just so happen to look like Josephine Baker, or is this an ancestor really speaking to me? And so that's kind of a story to share where how that works, where if it's repetitive. So with the name, the first time I heard about name was in a group. I didn't move then. I was using name in different ways, but I wasn't ingesting it. I didn't know how to use it for that particular practice. I got on the phone with another one of my spiritual mothers, and that's what I use. Whole nother conversation months later with another sister. Well, this is how I use it. And I've used it for X amount of time with a regular partner. And as soon as I didn't want to use it and I was ready to have my child, I just stopped using it. And within 30 days, by my next moon cycle, I had manifested my baby.
Wow.
Oh, okay. And so I was literally giving this is how I take it. This is how long I've been taking it. This is how I've worked with it, by two women. I have a third woman online that in Facebook that kind of mentioned it. And then me myself already was, hey, which herb, I don't know. Should I use it? Should I not use it? Things like that. So that's how my process works.
And so now, have you started using neem in that same way?
Oh, yes. And I love her. Yeah, when I found neem, I was like, what in the world? What have we been doing? Yes. I use neem as a contraception only if I'm in that space now. I don't just take it to take it for contraception. But if I'm in that space, if I'm in a relationship, I'm in a practice of the sensuality and the intimacy, practice, then yes, I will add that into because I know what I'm creating and I know how the body works. So I also channel the energy differently from, you know, sexual spaces and sensual spaces. I understand it's a creative energy. And so we assume that all we can do as women is make babies. We can make money. We can make environments. we make matter in general.
Mm-hmm.
And when you remember that power, is that you, yes, the masculine can erect an environment, but you fill it up. If it gives you gives you raw food, you make a meal out of it. If it puts you into an environment, you make a home out of it. Things like that. We create. We love art. We have the artistic flow. Even the right side of our mind is artistic flow. The more creative side, that's our being side. We are taught in this world to do to get everything. What if I told you you could be and get those same results?
Well,
if not more.
Oh my goodness. You're sharing so much about that I want to respond to, especially this part about coming to you in threes and that and multiple times. And you were part of this recent experience for me of having Mother Ocean and this connection with the ocean that I've felt my whole life come to me with, you know, a stranger kept trying to insert an O into my email address and kept saying O as an ocean or even S as an ocean, making this mistake numerous times, really silly kind of mistake. And I'm like, no, there's no ocean in my name. But then, and then I found myself in a doll, a magical doll making class.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, oh, it looks like a mermaid because I was making the dress look like this flaring out at the bottom. Like, of course, this is Mama Mermaid. And then I get on the call with you and you inform me that we're entering into the mermaid phase of the year based on traditions that you were sharing about. And then I've been writing and communing with this Mama Mermaid ancestor that has come to me in this way. So when we start to listen and allow space for that, and this kind of practice is not new for me, but what is new for me is that there's been this great slowing down and spaciousness opening up, even sort of not somewhat on purpose, but sort of circumstantial as well. And even through things that would be normally considered disruptive, like Mercury retrograde, which normally doesn't affect me. And even right now, it's not really disruptive. I mean, basically what it did is it like erased appointments from my schedule. And so I'm checking my phone. Oh, look, I have this open space. And then I'm getting email. I'm noticing emails and messages later on saying, we had an appointment. Where are you? So I erased it from my schedule, but not the other people. Like, next time, can we?
Mercury said, go relax.
Yeah,
go
exactly. Relax. And so it's just opening up this spaciousness. I'm going to talk to Mercury because maybe that, you know, we could extend that erasure, you know, so that everybody gets notified, right? So, but I wanted to also mention that what you were saying about being and everything gets done is this doll making workshop is a dear friend of mine, Erica Mazey, and she's a sacred embroidery and stitchery practitioner, and she's written a book about it and all this. And so she had this magical doll making workshop where she told a folk tale of Vasilisa and Baba Yaga. And in that story, Vasilisa has a magical doll. Her mother gives her a magical doll who helps her on her journey. And one of the things that the doll does is that Vasilisa has always been asked to do this, all this work that feels impossible for her to complete. And the doll says, don't worry, just go to bed, go to sleep. And in the morning, she wakes up and all the work is done. and so this feels like this story has a thread of a remembrance of that kind of power, which I feel is very much of a womb power.
Yes.
Where we plant the tiniest seed of intention in the darkness of the womb space. And I'm using this metaphorically, but 9 months later, you have a whole brand new human being. And that's a lot of work.
that was just happening in there in the dark while you were resting and eating and, you know.
Yes, and so I mean,
that can be applied, that same womb power is transferable to other aspects of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's one that we forget. Like, this comes up for me a lot in relationship and in partnership, like with my husband, for example. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like so many people get trapped in this wanting someone to do something the way you want them to do it and feeling like you have to work really hard to get them to do it the way that you want to do it. And that's not true at all. All you do is I can tell you countless stories of telling my husband one time and leaving it. And 6 months later, he's writing the book on the thing.
Yes.
And that same womb power we can activate, and it just, everything becomes so much easier. Where we can just, it's that foresight. We can see it, and then we can rest and allow.
Yes. Exactly.
And I'd love to hear more of your insights on all that.
We have help.
Ah, yes. We have help. We have Mama Ocean. Mama Mermaid.
So if we look at our mothers and the mythology of motherhood, the archetypical energy of motherhood, not everyone gets to experience it at this level, but just in general, the principles around it is deep nurturing. When a child is hurt, even when we heard recently George Floyd, who did he call when he was beginning to transition? Mama. I heard a story recently from a man that was in prison, and he was in a solitary confinement. And there was another prisoner being beat by cops. This man had no way out. And guess who he was calling? Mama. Call my mama. Call my mama. Why do we have this primal when we get in that very tight space of transition, of tightness, of resistance, of misunderstanding, of challenges, whatever it may be? We cry it out. We want to lay it out, and we just want to just say, "Mama, help us." But on top of that, you have angels. You have your ancestors. You have the earth. You have the sun and the moon and the stars. All these things were set up beautifully in a whole song and dance for you to exist in. And if you could just step back and sit in it and look around at the beauty of it and drop that seed into the ocean in the darkness. When we think about the ocean, if you get down deep enough, there's no more light. The sun can't penetrate but so far. And that's womb. We create in the depths of the darkness. And if you penetrate the darkness long enough, only light can be, that's the only thing that comes forth is light. And that's what women do. We sit in a knowing, in a power that once I get that vision, I'm locked in. I'm devoted to it. I'm committed to it. And I'm unwavering around it. Even so that in my children's 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 children's, I'm so patient that I will wait 7 generations, 9 generations, 13 generations, 1,000 years before I have that thing. And that's the power of cycles and time that we hold within ourselves. That's really what it is about being, is you get to allow life to unfold in front of you and for you. You do what's right in front of you. You do what you can. You participate, yes, in co-creation. But a lot of this is just being. We want to keep learning too. Keep learning, learning, learning. But eventually the student is supposed to become a master. And that learning, that doing, analyzing, critiquing, and going over, is supposed to one day shift over into you being that. And so that's the, and you begin to then use those both energetics, masculine and feminine, for your own good and to progress mankind and your own families, your communities, to support you in very powerful ways. And it says, you know, ask and it shall be given. Mm-hmm. It didn't say that you had to do anything for it. It simply said, ask and it shall be given. But we love instant gratification. We've been taught in a very patriarchal world that the only thing you get is from hard work. The only time you get something is from hard work. If you don't want to put in the work, then, oh, well, you can't have it. We will walk up to a homeless person and say, well, you're there because you don't do enough.
Isn't that a convenient narrative for people that want everybody else to do all their work for them and profit off of everybody else's hard work? It's a very convenient, I think, seed planted to convince everybody of that.
While I be, because we don't see these power, we don't see them working. Mm-hmm. Even if you look at corporate America, the board isn't working. The owner at some point stops. He's in big corporations. The owner doesn't even show up at the business every day. Mm-hmm. He's somewhere off doing and being what he wants to be, because he's structured his life to where he has everyone else doing what he, all of his task. Mm-hmm. And he's in a seat of receiving and managing. Mm-hmm. And so picture that in your life, of you being in a seat of receiving and managing. Mm-hmm. And your giving is literally simply sitting in love, and you give love, you give nurturing, you give harmony, you give peace. We give the higher ideals and characteristics, and we'll get back those same higher ideals and characteristics in human, you know, just in relational ways of being with each other. But when you think that you have to perform, this is for sexual spaces, communal spaces, work, career, anywhere you want to put it, when you think you have to perform for it, that's when fear steps in. Mm-hmm. That's when the biggest challenges can be. Now, I'm not saying that you don't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. I mean, at all.
Right.
That is a petition. There's a participation, but you will be told exactly what to do. Some, I know you've had things that you did not know what the next step was, mm-hmm. but you took a step. Mm-hmm. You didn't necessarily know where you were going, but you took that step. And then a little while later, you took another step. Mm-hmm. Then you made another decision. And before you know it, you were somewhere, you had transitioned out
into something new.
Or you've journeyed through, you know, that thing, mm-hmm. where you didn't know when you started out, you didn't know where you were going. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we end up in very miraculous places on the other side when we allow, you know, what you said about just allowing life. We are moving into a space where all the grinding and the grunting and they're creating all this extra energetic space. You got to hold a lot of energy within your being just to live in this world. It's time to relax. And if you don't know that yet, you will continue to think that it takes you pushing in this life, and that's literally not what we were born here to do. We came here to be, you know, to observe, and this is a beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful place to be. If you don't take anything from this out into your audience, is to awaken, and being a human is a beautiful experience. Having a womb is even more beautiful. You are the portal upon this planet. And so this walk into your knowledge, into your wisdom, is a tried old journey. We've done it again and again. We've remembered again and again. And so taking it, it's the path is already set. It's already there. A lot of times we think we're in places that it's unknown, and it's not. We just don't know it. Our soul doesn't remember it. Mm-hmm. And so the path is already laid out for us. We're made in God's image. So the narrative is already written. A lot of times we want to write it, but it's already written. And so I like to take a little bit of weight off of your shoulders, take a little easier, your mind a little bit, connect with your heart, you know, in that sense. This is what that mermaid energy does, that mama energy, what we call the deity Aset or Yim and Yah, the ocean represents within us, that watery energy that just flows to the depths of our emotions and brings up our most dearest dreams, our deepest dreams come true through her and through that faculty within us. So yeah, being is where we're going. Mm. Yeah. We've done enough in doing. We know that space well. We don't know being though.
Yeah. And what I noticed is when I'm really coming from that being place, all kinds of work gets done, but I don't even notice it because it's not hard because I'm just right there in the moment responding to this step that's here before me. That's a joy.
Mm-hmm. Following your joy.
And that every step is such a joy that it rejuvenates and replenishes the inner resources at each moment, so that it's not this constant drain that ends up having you with an empty cup. Instead, it's this continual replenishing and
yes,
receiving as you're giving, and then you're all kinds of work just got done, and you're like, whoa, all that. It's like the story of Vasilisa's doll.
Yes.
Saying, oh, just go to sleep and all the work will be done in the morning. And she wakes up and it's all completed.
That's the magic we hold. Yes.
It is. So wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing this wonderful transmission of wisdom. And I feel very grateful. I feel like you shared wisdom to support me personally, as well as the audience and the listeners. So I thank you and I receive, and hopefully being on the show also gives to you in some way that you receive some wisdom, some insight, some blessing in being here as well. And I would love to know, I'm sure listeners would like to know, if they want to get a hold of you, connect with you further, how might they do so?
Yes, so you can find me on the World Wide Web at www.healingfem.com. This is Healing Femme, the first three letters of feminine, F-E-M, F-E-M. So that's H-E-A-L-I-N-G, F as in Frank, E as in Mary, E as in Eric, M as in Mary, healingfem.com. And that's where you can find me online. I have a blog there, and you can also check out my services that are there. Also, I have a IG page where I share around mind and body connection. And I run a facilitator group, a year-long body transformation program through Progressive Love Academy. And you can find me on IG to get more information about that and all that I have to offer in my bio. That handle is Mind Body Intimacy Digest. Okay, my IG again is Mind Body Intimacy Digest. Mind Body Intimacy Digest.
Wonderful. Thank you for spelling it out so clearly. And thank you, listeners, for joining us and being with us. And as you may know, you can find more out about the Womb-Centered Healing Temple to discover what's going on there. It's a very collaborative space where we can all remember the centrality of the womb and activate and embody these womb powers we've been discussing today on the show. So join us there at wombcenteredhealing.com. And there's also a Facebook group called the Womb Centered Healing Temple, where you can join us on Facebook to get the latest updates about the podcast and join us for these types of discussions. So, and various other events that go on in that group. So thank you so much once again, Tamika. That's all for now.
Thank you.
All right.
So happy you had me. Thank you so much. Bless you.
Yes, bless you as well. And that's all for now. Until next time.